ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 23. Antavat tu palam tesham tat bhavati alpametasam Devan, Devayacho, Yanti, Matbhakta, Yanti, Mam, Api, Antavatu Palam Tesham, Antavatu Palam Tesham, Tatbhavatyalpametasam. Tatpavatyalpametasam Devan deva yacho yanti Devan deva yacho yanti Matbhakta yanti mamapi Matbhakta yanti mamapi Antavatu palantesham Tatpavatyalpametasam Devan deva yacho yanti Matbhakta yanti mamapi Antavat perishable Tu but Palam, fruit, tesham, there, tat, that, bhavati, becomes, alpametasam, of those of small intelligence, devan, to the demigods, deva yacha, the worshippers of the demigods, yanti, go, mat, my, Bhakta, devotees, yanti, go, mam, to me, api, also. Translation of Purport by Sivan Kresila Prabhupada Ki Chai. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Purport. Some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say that one who worships a demigod can reach the Supreme Lord. But here it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to the different planetary systems where various demigods are situated, just as worshippers of the sun achieves the sun, or a worshipper of the demigod of the moon achieves the moon. Similarly, if anyone wants to worship a demigod like Indra, he can attain that particular god's planet. It is not that everyone, regardless of whatever demigod is worshipped, will reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is denied here, for it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to different planets in the material world, but the devotee of the Supreme Lord goes directly to the supreme planet of the Personality of Godhead. Here the point may be raised that if the demigods are different, parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, then the same end should be achieved by worshipping them. However, worshippers of the demigods are less intelligent because they don't know to what part of the body food must be supplied. Some of them are so foolish that they claim that there are many parts and many ways to supply food. This is not very sanguine. Can anyone supply food to the body through the ears or eyes? They do not know that these demigods are different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord, and in their ignorance they believe that each and every demigod is a separate god and a competitor of the Supreme Lord. Not only are the demigods parts of the Supreme Lord, but ordinary living entities are also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the Brahmanas are the head of the Supreme Lord, the Kshatriyas are his arms. Why you didn't put it on before? Where we are now? The arms. The Kshatriyas are his arms, the Vaishyas are his waist, the Shudras are his legs, and all serve different functions, regardless of the situation. If one knows that both the demigod... If one knows that both the demigods and he himself are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, his knowledge is perfect. But if he does not understand this, he achieves different planets where the demigods reside. This is not the same destination the devotee reaches. The results achieved by the demigods' benedictions are perishable, because within this material world, the planets, the demigods, and their worshippers are all perishable. Therefore, it is clearly stated in this verse that all the results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable. And therefore, such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity. Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service of the Supreme Lord, achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge, his achievement and those of the common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees is unlimited. Antavatu palam tesham tatpavati alpamedasam devan deva yachoyanti matbhakta yanti mamapi. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet.
Omagyantimaranyasya gananchana salakyam chakshurun militam yena tasma shigarave namaha sichatane mano bhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa katamayam dadati svapatantikam mukham karoti vachanam pangum langayati karim yat kripatam mahamande shigurum dinataranam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, here we are again, seventh chapter, continuing. Last time we heard about how dear the Jnani is, of all the worshippers who come with different motives to approaching the Lord, praying to him. The Jnani is the best. He's like the Lord's heart. towards soul. Because the Jnani is always absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord. So he's very dear to the Lord of all the four kinds of worshippers. Then after that, the four verses, he describes the demigod worshippers. But the demigod worshippers, they're worshipping a particular demigod for fulfillment of a certain desire, not knowing that actually the desire, or how say the result, is attained by me, is given by me. So the demigods are not independent, they are the Lord's part and parcels, as described here in purport and all over the scriptures. The demigods are situated in the universal form, Virat Purusha, who is the super soul manifested in this material world, where all the living entities, embodied living entities, are resting or living in lower, middle, and higher planetary systems. And also the particular demigods are residing in their respective places, mostly in Svarga, in the higher planetary systems. And the Asura, those who are against the Asuras, the anti-gods, they are living in under subterranean hellish planets. Subterranean, actually heavenly planets. Sometimes it's described these heavenly planets are more beautiful than the heaven of the demigods, because there's so much opulences. So anyway, here is demigod worship described. Those who worship the demigods. Demigods are known as Amara, because they live a very long time. But in true sense, they're not Amara. Amara means immortal. Because they're also created in this material world. They have a material body, more subtle than our. Our body is made mostly of earth and water, but there are also more subtle bodies of the demigods, accordingly, like Agni, his pure fire, Agni, the moon god, sun god. Sun god also must be fire, it cannot be of water and earth, so otherwise he would burn. So he has a fiery body. Living entity can live everywhere, all over the universe. The living entities can live in all the spheres, in all the elements, even in fire, in the water, in the air, in the ether, in the earth. So living entities are sarva-gataha. They're spread all over the universe, in all the spheres. And the living entity by nature is nitya, it's eternal, as we know. Nitya nityanam, cetanas cetananam, ekobahanam, yovidadati kaman. So the God is eternal, the living entities are eternal. But of them both, the Lord is the supreme eternal, is the origin, the maintainer of everything, is like the Father, the maintainer, taking care, supplier. And the living entities are subordinate, finding their happiness in the material world. And the earth planet, especially if one takes birth in the human form of life, one has a privilege to engage in dharma. That means in dharma, dharmic activities, in religious life, that elevates one to higher consciousness, to a higher destination. So the earth is like a scale, Martya Loka, either we can go up or we can go down. So it's this, we have the choice. So those who worship the demigods, they go up, and those who worship the asuras, they go down. They go to the subterranean heavenly planets, and the demigod worshippers go to the demigods. Yanti deva vrata devan. So that's Krishna also describes. They also worship demigods, god of the demigod planets. And those who worship the asuras, god of the asura planets. And those who worship the Buddhas, god of the Buddha planets. That means a little higher than the earth planet. There's a Puvarloka, where the subtle entities are existing. They have no material body. So the Buddhas, they're mostly worshippers or followers of Lord Shiva. So they have their spheres. So those who worship the ghosts and spirits and Buddhas and Pichachas, they go to their planetary worlds, to their worlds. But Krishna says, those who worship me, they come to me. And that's naturally. So that's very naturally. There where we have our consciousness, there we will go. Another place, Krishna says, wherever you have your consciousness in the time of death, there you, that state we will attain. So that's not God's fault. So we can make the choice. And according to our desires, we worship either a demigod, a demon, a ghost, or the Supreme Lord Himself. That's also stated in the Bhagavatam. That there are different worshippers who worship different gods, demigods, devas, or devis, with the purpose, the fulfillment of desire, material desire. Mostly those who have material desires, and that's practically everyone in this material world. Nobody is born without a desire to enjoy the material world. So therefore they worship knowingly or unknowingly a certain deva or devi. All over the world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote one book in 1874, some time ago. So he wrote a book, it's called Datta Kaustubha. Kaustubha means Krishna. It's a Kaustubha jewel. Kaustubha jewel is very special because he can fulfill everyone's desire. It's like a desire jewel, very interesting jewel. Everyone would be happy with such a jewel. But only Krishna has this jewel, Kaustubha. Kaustubha Mani is only Vishnu's or Krishna's possession. Nobody else has Kaustubha. That distinguishes the Lord from another associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. He has Kaustubha Mani. And the Srivatsa sign. But anyway, Kaustubha means the wish-fulfilling jewel. So, Datta Kaustubha. Datta means who is giving his mercy, is the gift of Kaustubha. And the ultimate gift of Kaustubha, very well, switch off your cling, cling, cling. The greatest gift of the Kaustubha is to attain Krishna. Not to attain the Kaustubha itself, the jewel, but to attain Krishna's lotus, shelter Krishna's lotus feet. Many like to have the Kaustubha money for themselves, but they become destroyed. Because it's only in possession of the Supreme Lord eternally. Sometimes temporary, a demon or somebody in this mortal world can possessing for only short time, but not for long, and then it comes back to the rightful owner, and this is Krishna. Anyway, in that Kaustubha, like in any other books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes very nicely the upliftment or the elevation of living entity to the highest level of Krishna Prema. And there he is describing how actually Dharma or religious principles to find out about the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth. That means not the relative truth or untruth, but the real eternal truth. It's actually spread all over the world in different religions according to the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are the dominating energy in this material world. Therefore, everyone is working, as we know, or hear, works under the direction or influence of the Trigunamayi. So we're like marionette, like puppets on the string, just acting according to the three modes of material nature: Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna. And these three modes are also mixed together, so that means that they become tama, rajas tama, and sattva rajas. So in this way we have five modes. And according to these five modes are five different gods, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He studied Vedic scriptures and whole humanity, culture and religious scriptures from all over the world. And he says that these five gods are worshipped all over the globe, in the West and in the East. So there's the worship in Tamaguna. The worship of Tamaguna means Durga. Durga worship is especially attractive for people in the mode of ignorance. What means ignorance? Ignorance means they only believe or live on the gross bodily conception of life. They cannot understand anything else than just I'm this body. And for those who think I'm this body, and I need something, I need money, I need food, I need children, I need a husband, I need a wife, I need a mother, I need a father, they approach Durga Devi. Because Durga Devi, she is the mother of the material nature, she is Jagat Mata. She is actually the supreme director of the material nature, Maya. Well, she is also known as Maya. So they worship Maya Devi in the form of Durga Devi. But Durga is an aspect of the Lord, of the Lord's internal energy. She is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Radharani, she is the original Shakti. She is the original pure Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. And all other Shaktis, are emanations of Srimati Radharani. But Radharani, she is very discreet. She is very secret, very, how we say, it's not easy to understand Radharani, Radha Krishna, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radha Krishna are very mysterious, very difficult to understand for materialistic people. The loving affairs of Radha Krishna. Because this is only available on the platform of pure Shuddha Sattva. On material Sattva, we cannot understand Radha Krishna. So what to do? To give the people an opportunity to become uplifted from the lowest mode of material nature. Vedas give us different descriptions of different demigods to worship. And Prabhupada even actually told the demigod, when they asked him, what is better, Christianity or demigod worship? Prabhupada told, demigod worship is better. Why? Because it's Vedic. It is based on Veda. It's based on knowledge. There's a science behind it. There's a plan behind it. To uplift the consciousness
of course, not maybe in one lifetime, in many lifetimes, that they become ultimately Vaishnava, Vishnu Bhakta or Krishna Bhakta. To become a Krishna Bhakta is very rare, as we know. And there are thousands of millions of jnanis who are searching after the truth. Only very rarely one becomes a Narayana Para, a pure devotee, surrendering to Lord Narayana completely. They're very, very rare. So Durlabha Prasanatma Kotishapi Mahamune. So they're most rare. So therefore most of the people, they're not aware to worship Vishnu or Krishna. Nate vidu svarta katim hi Vishnum. Durasa bahir artamanina. Andandhair upaniyamanas te pisha tantra urutam nibadha. As described in the Bhagavatam, Nate vidu svarta katim hi Vishnum. Prahlad Maharaj saying those who are blind, they have only material interest, materialistic interest. They don't show interest in Vishnu Bhakti, in worship of Vishnu, or in Vishnu Gati, to attain shelter in Vishnu. Instead of serving Vishnu, they serve their senses. So they serve the senses. They want to please the senses, to gratify the senses, to become happy by sense gratification. And for that purpose, they're following some leaders who give them some promises. If you follow me, then we will take care. So that's the most materialistic worship. So better than a worshipper of the materialist, of the earth planet, the leader, it's better you worship a demigod. Because through the demigod worship, we could become purified and become uplifted to a platform of Rajas Tamas. That's the next level. Raja Tama. The Raja Tama worship is Surya. Surya worshippers, they're mostly kings. They have the emblem of Surya, the sun god, because sun god is a power element. It's the emblem of the kings, and the kings mostly are very materialistic. They're into power, into conquering, into strength, yes, like that, good health, and in success. So they worship Surya. So Surya worship, sun god worship is in the mode of Rajas Tamas. And then the next level after Surya worship, like for example here in Vrindavan, Surya worship is also very popular. Demigods worship all over India. They worship the demigod Surya, even Radharani and her parents coming from Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was a Surya worshipper. And Radharani always was sent to do Surya Puja by her mother-in-law. And she was always scared that she will come in contact with Krishna. So she sent her always accompanied by other gopis who will protect her, that she go and worship now Surya, our family, Ishtadev. It's the family. Everyone in India has a certain deva that they worship. So they worship the families, they just worship the family deity, that means Surya for them. How does they worship Durga? So, because in their family, Durga is since generations worshipped. This is remarkable. This is remarkable because those who worship a certain god, and also ultimately Vishnu or Krishna, they do it very steadily for generation after generation. We become proud and think, oh, there are these worshippers here, and they worship this and that.
But they worship very steady for generation after generation. It has to go on. And that's their attachment, that's their proud, you know, that their worship always goes on. That's the family heritage. Family heritage is not only money or house or cows or other possessions or profession, but it is also the deva that they worship. So they always try to keep Radharani away from Krishna, but then Krishna himself, he went there to Surya, because he's the original Surya, Krishna Surya. He's as brilliant as the sun, Aditya Varnam. He's as bright as the sun. And he manifested his sun god mood. And therefore everyone there ultimately considered, oh, now Radharani worships the sun god, but actually it was Krishna who manifested himself as the sun god, because he is the original Surya, he is Surya Narayana. Because Surya is not alone the director or the king of the sun planet, he has the Lord whom he worships, and that's Narayana, Surya Narayana. Every demigod has a particular deity of Lord Vishnu, but they worship. Of course, this is not known to the deva worshippers. That actually these devas, they worship Vishnu. They know, but they actually don't tell it to their followers. It's not known to them. It's not revealed to them in the beginning, because they're not ready. They're not qualified to worship Vishnu at that point, because they come with too many material desires. Then they don't have to go to Vishnu necessarily, according to the Vedic plan, right? Don't go. Like Rupa Goswami describes the nectar of devotion. Two gopis meet, sakis. One saki tells the other saki, oh, from where you come? Oh, I come from Vamshivat. What you did there, what you have seen there. I have seen a very beautiful boy there, like his form. Ribanga Sundara, very beautiful. What he did, he played on his flute, he was looking very attractive, very charming. But I warn you, my dear Saki, don't go there and go and look, otherwise this boy will steal your heart and you become crazy woman, and then you will blame him. That he has stolen my heart, he made me crazy. Don't go there if you still have attachment to family, friendship and love. Don't go. Don't go to Krishna if you still have too many material attachments. Therefore, scriptures tell, if you have a certain material attachment, go to that demigod, to that, or that, and that. That's the program of the Vedas. So, the ultimate sun god is Krishna. He's behind every god. Every demigod is Krishna, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because a demigod gets the power by them. From him. And therefore the powers or blessings or benedictions that somebody gets from demigod worship is actually bestowed by the Supreme Lord himself, because he is the power behind the demigods. Because the demigods themselves worship the Lord. But it is not automatically now that if we worship the demigods, that the Lord is automatically is attained. It's not like that. Gradually, after a long, long, long time. But not immediately. So, then we have Rajas, right? Rajas, Tamas, we had Surya. Before that, we had Durga, Tama. Then Rajas, Ganesh. Rajaguna, those who are complete Rajaguna, means a complete passion. Big, what means passion? Money, 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 money. Money is sweeter than honey. They go, become crazy for money. Even now you see, it's so much crisis and problem now in India.
And people go mad for money. They accumulated so much money, so much black money, so much money that they don't have to pay the tax. All bunkers, warehouses, they're filled with money. They could not eat it. They could not eat it. Who will use all this money ultimately? Mouse will eat. Rats will eat. It or you fall apart after some time. Or the next generation, you keep it maybe for next generation. Or it will take birth again in my family, in my family line. Then maybe I can again have a nice money. But in that time, maybe your money has no more value because it becomes devaluated. So now, but always people are very easy, very much into the money. Even out of this crisis, they make money. To make more money. Or to make good business. Therefore, you can see all the mercantile classes, Vaishyas, here in Vrindavan, all over India, whom they worship? Ganesh. They all have a little Ganesh altar there. Maybe Radha Krishna also there. Or whatever. And they do every morning the Ganesh puja, everywhere. Because Ganesh is he's a yaksha. He's a son of Shiva. And yaksha, and the yakshas, they're very powerful. They're actually the servants of Kuvera. Kuvera and Shiva, they're very good friends. And Kuvera likes very much Shiva, although Shiva has no interest in money. Kuvera is a treasurer of the demigods. He's very rich. He's multi-rich. Very, very fabulously rich. But his friend is a poor fellow. He has no riches. He's not even dressed properly. He's Shiva. So he's only absorbed in trance all the time. But Kuvera is very much sympathetic to Shiva. And Shiva also somehow other protects and gives blessings to Kuvera. He's very thankful to him. Because it was Kuvera who gave him the Kailash. That he could reside there. So anyway, they have a close relationship, Kuvera and Shiva. And Kuvera's clerks or servants are the yakshas. Yakshas have big belly. They have big belly. They're very greedy. Very powerful. They have mystic powers. And they're very possessive. They like to... therefore, they're the proper persons to take care for the treasure of Yaksharaj, of Kuvera. So anyway, Ganesh, he also has big belly, he has an elephant head, that's a whole story, how he became Krishna's son, because... What I told? Shiva's son. Now he became Shiva's son, of course. So Ganesh, because Parvati, she's the wife of Shiva. She always serves her husband, but her husband not always has time for her to give attention, to give some affection to her, because he's always in trance, in meditation. So Parvati had desire for offspring, for children. And so there are different legends how Ganesh appeared. So that she created her son practically from her own body. Molded in a form and put life in it. And so without elephant head. And he put him in charge for her garden, for her griha. That no male person can enter there. So one time Shiva came, because sometimes Shiva feels hungry.
coming to Parvati to get something to eat, but Parvati's son is there, and she doesn't know he doesn't know Shiva, and he keeps Shiva out, cannot enter, and Shiva gets angry, Rudra, you know, so he cut off his head. He reacts instantly, not thinking much. Rudra, boom. If somebody, that Ashutosh, easily pleased, easily angry, not thinking. Just emotion, power, energy coming. Then Parvati became very anxious and say, "Oh, you killed my son." Then Shiva, he found an elephant head outside, he found the elephant head, and he took the elephant head and put it on that boy, and he put the life back. So in this way, one son of Shiva appeared, Ganesh. And the other one is Kartikeya, also very popular, but also very passionate for people who are warriors, who are generals, army men, who have great interest in that. They worship Kartikeya, the god of war. It's a mode of passion. But we speak now about Ganesh. So Ganesh is Shiva, Parvati's son, actually more Parvati's son. So he's a mother's son, and he's very much related to this Durga energy, and therefore supplies with the worshippers of him a lot of money. He protects them also. Also devotees worship the Ganesh when they do puja for protection, for offenses or removing obstacles in devotional service. Because Ganesh also, again, is an energy of Krishna. It's a manifestation of Krishna. All the demigods have a prototype of their origin in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. And they are pervertedly reflected as shadow demigods in the material world. That the material universe is functioning. So Ganesh is in charge for people who are very passionate, who are greedy for money, who also maybe need some protection. So they worship him, and he fulfills their desires. But he can also not give it directly. Krishna works through Ganesh. But that's not known then ultimately, in the beginning. Then the next we have is goodness, sattva, rajas, Shiva. Shiva is in sattva and rajas. Sometimes we hear Shiva is tamas, but it's actually not true. Shiva is rajas tamas. Sattva rajas. Actually, he's always absorbed in sattva. Sattvam vishuddha vasudeva shaptitam. Because he always meditates about his worshipable Ishtadev. And what is that? Sankarshan. Therefore, he has his snake around his neck. And it's actually a symbol of Sankarshan, his Anantashesh. He's always in trance. Therefore, Panchamukha, Mahadev, Panchamukha, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings. Chaturmukha Brahma, Brahma Bolo, Chaturmukha, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So Shiva always worships Ram, Balaram. I mean, Sankarshan is an aspect of Balaram. He has very friendly relationship with him. Therefore, the island where Rudra is in charge in Navadip is representing Sakya, friendship. So Krishna and the Lord have very close friendship. There's actually Hari and Hara. There's almost not a difference between them. We should not make a distinction between Hari and Hara. So So therefore, we also have to learn how to respect Shiva, Shivaji. Of course, Shiva has different aspects in the material world, in his Rudra mood, or as demigod, who appeared from between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. So he's very ascetic, but there's an origin of Shiva. He's Shambhu. He's in the spiritual world. He's practically not different from Lord Vishnu. So he's Hara. So Shiva is in the mode of Sattvaguna because he represents knowledge. He's one of the original speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. He knows the Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya says. Shiva knows Bhagavatam, Shukadev knows Bhagavatam, and Vyasadev may or maybe not fully knows what is the full extent of Bhagavatam. So, but Shiva and Shukadev, they are the highest authority of Bhagavatam. They are the highest Bhagavata devotees. Aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnu aradhanam param, tasma paratram devi, tadiyanam samachanam. So, but those who worship Shiva only for material interests, and don't see him as a Vaishnava, then they're not known as Vaishnavas, they're known as Shaivites. Those who are worshippers of Ganesh, the Ganapatyas. And those who are worshippers of Surya, they're Suryas. And those who are worshippers of Durga, they're Shaktas. And those who are worshippers of Vishnu, they're Vaishnava. So in this way we have the five different worshippers established, who are very prominent in Hinduism. Shiva is in the mode of goodness because he represents transcendental knowledge, but his worshippers are not in the mode of goodness. They are mostly in the mode of passion, because they are mostly inclined in cities, either in cities like the yogis, or in some material interest. It's described if you like to have a nice husband, then worship Shiva like that. So also for material powers, they worship sometimes Shiva. It's also in the mode of passion then. So those who are in the mode of passion, they worship Shiva, but then ultimately Shiva is a Vaishnava. If they are fortunate, then will ultimately become Vaishnava. But that's also very rare. Because Shiva worshipper will not become automatically Vaishnava in one lifetime. So mostly he remains as Shaivite. And becomes attracted to tantric methods. And then the fifth, in the mode of goodness, or actually ultimately transcendental goodness, is Lord Vishnu. So the people who are in the mode of goodness, they worship the Supreme Lord alone, without any other worship methods of demigods. They're called Shuddha Bhakta, so devotees who are ekanta, who are only fixed on the Supreme Lord, and who actually have the knowledge that the demigods, they are all the parts and parcels of the Lord. So if I please the Lord, then automatically his part and parcels also become satisfied. You don't have to worship the part and parcels of the Lord. Like we don't watering the leaves of the tree and forget to put water on the roots. then the tree will dry out. He will not. He will not become nourished. So we have to water the root. Then automatically the root distributes the energy all over the tree. Everything, every branch, every twig, every leaf will become nourished by the watering process of the root. So therefore the Vishnu worshippers, they're most intelligent. That's the Aradhanam Sarvisham, the supreme Aradhanam Param, supreme worship method described by Shiva himself. Because Devi asked him one time, what is the supreme worship in this universe? Because you must know, because some we know, some worship me, Durga, some worship you as Shiva, some worship Vishnu, some worship sun god, some worship Ganesh. So whom amongst them you feel the best? Supreme, Param. And then Shiva told, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The supreme worship is the worship of Vishnu. So Vishnu worship is the goal of ultimately of the Vedic plan. And this was actually originally Sri Vyasadeva's idea. He understood people are not interested in Vishnu Bhakti immediately because of too many material desires and interests. Therefore, they are in this material world. So I have to give them a plan where they become purified. Ultimately. Gradually. Therefore he gave them Vedas. He gave them the Mahabharata. Like that. So that they gradually become purified by worshipping even a demigod. In the Vedas, that's a description of the various demigods. The glories of our Lord Indra especially are glorified. And sometimes it becomes not very obvious that Indra is not the Supreme Lord. Sometimes it looks like Indra is the Supreme Lord because he's worshipped like the Supreme. And so in this way, similarly, other demigods become sometimes, it looks as they would be the Supreme. Because their worshippers, they see them as the Supreme. And that is what Krishna tries to clarify here. Actually, the demigods are not the Supreme. The Supreme is Lord Vishnu, it's Krishna. And only if we please Him and worship Him, then automatically we can attain Him, if you like to go there. It's not if you worship a demigod, automatically you will attain also Krishna. Cannot dance in two marriages or weddings in the same time. So it is natural that those that what we worship, there we will go. So therefore, Krishna, he tries to establish his the Vishnu worship or Krishna worship. Because that is in the mode of goodness, and that ultimately brings us on the transcendental platform. This is Krishna's great mercy. Sri Vyasadeva, he also tried to do that, but ultimately he felt not so much satisfied inside. He wrote so many books, so much Vedic knowledge. So when Narad Muni appeared in his ashram, he saw Vyasadeva was very depressed, he was doubtful, he was not satisfied. So he asked him, "Oh, my dear Muni, why you are not satisfied? You wrote so many beautiful books, Mahabharata, was very important, very beneficial for Stri Shudra and Vicha Bandhu. So very nice book. You wrote Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, you wrote so many itihasas and puranas. So why are you not satisfied?" And ultimately Narada pointed to him out, because he's spiritual master coming from Brahma Loka. He knew He knew the worship of ultimate worship is Krishna worship, Vishnu worship. And Vyasadeva encouraged other worship in the name of Dharma, in the name of religion. And he actually chastised this sage. Because you are misguided people by giving them other worship methods instead of that Krishna directly. But the intention of Vyasadeva was to gradually make them qualified to become Vishnu Bhaktas. Because not everyone is immediately ready. But Narad Muni Sampradaya, they don't have this view. Because there are two paths how to attain Vishnu. One is Aroha and the other one is Avaroha. So now we come completely to another aspect of the mercy of Krishna. The other one is upliftment, of gradual upliftment, purification, through our own sadhana, through our own worship method. And that takes many, many lifetimes. It takes long, long time. It is described, somebody who performs his duties in Varnashram Dharma for 100 lifetimes without deviation, he can attain Brahmaloka. And those who worship, those who perform their duties in Varnashram Dharma for more than 100 lifetimes, they can attain Shiva Loka. So that takes a long time. But the Sampradaya of Narada, they have no time. They don't want to waste the time. They want to give the mercy directly. Although they know the people are not qualified now. They have so many interests in materialistic thing. Krishna is the last what they want. But Narad Muni and his representatives, they know the secret of Krishna's desire and of Krishna's plan, that ultimately they should come to him. Therefore, they give us the express method, express purification, by bhakti giving directly. As Shukadeva Goswami, ultimately, after he described all the different demigod worships and their results, in beginning of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he quoted the famous verse by Prabhupada, many times quoted. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasma paratram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yachita purusham param. So if you have a material desire, sarva kama, or if you have desire for liberation, moksha kama, or if you have a desire or no desire, akama, doesn't matter. If you are udharati, that means if you have broader intelligence, or if your consciousness is uplifted, or elated, or enlightened, then you are worshipping Lord Vishnu. You are worshipping Krishna. Anyway, you go to Krishna, even with material desires. Because Krishna can even fulfill your material desires. He can also grant your liberation. He can take you to him. And the beautiful thing is, if you go in contact with Krishna, you will become ultimately purified. Immediately become purified, and you become a Krishna Bhakta, even without any more interest in your material desires. Like Dhruva Maharaj, we spoke last time, Dhruva Maharaj, he had so much desire, great desire, nobody could fulfill him. So his mother sent him to the forest to find out about Vishnu, because only he can fulfill our desires, she heard. She was faithful. And her son followed his mother as a Vatma Pradarshaka Guru. She was Vatma Pradarshaka Guru, the Guru who shows the way. And ultimately he received mantra from Narada and sadhana. and he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu wanted to fulfill desire to him, but Dhruva had no more desire. He forgot everything. Suddenly became completely purified by darshan of Vishnu. So had no more desire, he became completely pure. All his impurities, his desires were washed away. So therefore, even if one has a material desire, Krishna may be fulfilling even the material desire, or if you are very fortunate, become purified by it, and you get the shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So the mode, the Vishnu Bhakti is in the mode of goodness, or transcendental goodness, because it leads to liberation. It's the only path that leads to liberation, but it leads to the kingdom of the Lord. All other worshippers have to take birth again in this material world. Like the demigods also become destroyed. They are not immortals. And they have to take birth again also. And those who live with them, they also have to take birth again. Then they take birth again in the human society. And then again do karma, yoga, or through pious activities. They have to become purified, then they become uplifted again to Svarga, then they can again stay there for some time, come down. So here clear Krishna is clarifying it mercifully. He gave this knowledge that ultimately don't worship the demigod directly, because they cannot give you the desire, fulfill your desires without my mercy. So, therefore, you can come directly to me. And one doesn't have any more obligations to the devas if one surrenders to Krishna. But that's very rare. But Lord Chaitanya made it very open, and his disciplic succession, that now everyone has opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. Devashi putata rinam pitrinam nakinkara nayam rinichara cham sarvatmanayam charanam sharanyam gato mukunda paririta kartam. That's the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we are worshipping Krishna or surrendering to Krishna, taking shelter, charanam sharanyam gato mukunda, if we take shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can grant liberation, the Lord, then we are not indebted anymore. We are not indebted to the devas, to the forefathers, pitris, to the sages, to the society, to the parents, to the animals. We are not indebted anymore. Otherwise, one is indebted. We are not surrendering to Vishnu. We have to worship. We have to please all these living entities, because they give us service. Then devas give us service. Because of the devas, we have light, we have air, we have all these things that we need to live. Food. The devas are in charge for that. And the sages, they give us dharma, guidelines, how to perform dharma, how to perform rituals. That's the sages. Samskaras, like that. Then the society. The society give us service. Electricity, streets, houses, parks. So many things are supplied by the society, the animals, the parents. So therefore we are all indebted to them. We have a debt. Therefore the grihasthas in the Varnashram Dharma have to offer oblations to these five kinds of entities, the deva, rishi, buddha, society, and so on. And forefathers, because of Because of them we are here. Because of them we are maintained. But if we are worshipping Krishna, who is the root cause of all existence, and who is the ultimate blessing giver behind everything and everyone, because without the Lord's power and benedictions and mercy and arrangements, the Deva Rishis and so on, they cannot function. So therefore, surrendering to Krishna, surrendering to Vishnu, this is the supreme goal of life, and Krishna is pointing us the direction through Arjuna. So if we follow this process that Krishna gives, then we don't have to go through the complicated process of demigod worship and forefathers worship and others worships, because in Krishna worship everything else is included and even more, because it leads directly to Krishna, and the other things are only gradually, if you are very lucky, you come ultimately to Krishna after many, many lifetimes. You come maybe to Jnana, from karma to Jnana, and then from Jnana to bhakti. Okay, I'm stopping here. Huh? Maybe some questions? Huh? Yes?
In the last few verses, we've been talking about demigods.
Yeah.
That they were living entities occupying posts.
The living entities?
Occupying particular positions, like Indra.
Yeah.
It's a living entity, and it's a different living entity from time to time.
Mm.
But today, you're saying that these demigods, Surya, Ganesh, Durga, Shiva, that they are actually expansions from the spiritual.
Yeah, they have a spiritual
prototypes
in the spiritual world. They're existing. Yeah.
Are they actually living entities?
They're living.
Include them as demigods. So if we include them as demigods, are there others we include as demigods?
No, that. You know, like in Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they're eternal mother and father of Krishna in Goloka. But when they appear in the material world, the demigod parcels, they're also, like Krishna is expanding himself in all spheres, not only in Goloka, also in the Vaikunthas, in the material world, in all spheres, the Lord incarnates himself. And the Priha Bhagavatamrita states, Sanatana Goswami says, that also Krishna's associates in Goloka, they're expanding himself like the Lord in all the spheres, with the Lord.
So they are considered as demigods?
So they're demigods, well, they're origin of demigods. They have their jiva, they're all jivas. They're actually Shakti Tattva. Like Jiva is also Shakti Tattva. But the Shakti Tattva, like the gopis, who are expansions of Radharani. No. And but actually most of all the associates of Krishna and in the Goloka and in the other spheres are manifestations of Balaram, of Sankarshan. He's the supreme servitor of Godhead, and he's actually the real father of all existence, Balaram, Sankarshan. Therefore, Sankarshan name, other name described in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Jiva. You heard about that? Jiva. He's glorified as Jiva because he's the origin of Jiva. Prabhupada gives a long purport there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. About Nityanandaram, glories of Nityanandaram. I think it's fifth chapter of Adi Lila, where there's a description of Sankarshan and how Sankarshan is known as Jiva because he's the resting place or origin of all jivas, of all living entities. And that Prabhupada points out, that doesn't mean that he's ordinary jiva. He's known as jiva because he is the origin of all the jivas. He's the reservoir of jivas. And it is through Sankarshan that because he's a supreme servitor of Krishna, how he arranges and manifests all Krishna's associates, dam, forests, beddings, houses, sitting places, umbrella, shoes, everything are manifestations of Sankarshan, who is also known as Anantadev or Anantashesh. Like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur doesn't ultimately matter if you call Balaram, Sankarshan, Anantadev, Shesha, it's all the same. Because it's the same personality, just in different aspects, with different functions. So it's not wrong if you call Balaram Anantashesh or Shesha or Sankarshan, because they're all in Balaram. This is Balaram Tattva. This is very. He's always making arrangement for in all spheres. For Krishna's, for the expansions, unlimited expansions of Krishna's Leela. And Nityananda is not different from Balaram, he's Nityananda Ram. You can read more about it in Brahma Samhita. There's some statement how Durga ultimately is Krishna's energy. How she actually becomes manifested from the spiritual world. And similarly, all other demigods, you know, they have their origin, their Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj in the purport describes that all the demigods actually have their pure transcendental forms in the spiritual world. And therefore, they are also present in the material world with a pious living entity, as you say, who has sometimes different names, like Indra. Now, in this day of Brahma, he's known as Purandar, right? Purandar Indra. In other manvantars, he has another name. That means it's another living entity. Even Vyasadeva is not always the same. There are different Vyasadevs. Vyasa is a position. The name of Vyasadeva in this age is Dvaipayan, Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa. So Vyasa is his title of the position of the compiler of the Vedas.
So would it be true to say that the prototype in the spiritual world gives the potency to the living entity who's acting in that position?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, there are the origins, and they're descending in Krishna's Leela on the earthly planet with Krishna. But there are two demigods. What was their name? Tara and two demigods who got the blessings of Brahma that Krishna will become their son. Tara. Anyway, two demigods. They're actually expansions of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, who then come. They join with Nanda Maharaj in one body.
Lord Ganesha gets his energy from Narasimha.
Huh?
Lord Ganesha, he gets his energy from Narasimha.
What he gets?
The energy from Krishna.
Energy.
Narasimha.
This.
Krishna's form of Narasimha Dev.
Narasimha Dev.
Narasimha Dev.
he gets the power.
That's what it is, Lord Ganesha.
You heard that?
They say Vigna Harta.
That's possible because the avatars. I heard that Ganesh and because Nrisingadev is protective, and Ganesh is protective, so that he can get blessings and the power from these different Vishnu forms. The 24 main Vishnu forms in the Vaikunthas, like Nrisingadev, Ram, Parushuram, like that, Kurma, Matsya. Varaha, 24 Vishnumurtis. Teaching of Lord Chaitanya, you can read about. Yeah, Bala?
There is a site in the Srila Prabhupada's books that even sattva is also conditioned in the
That's right.
And maybe we have to see the worship of Krishna, pure worship of Krishna, in another level.
Yes, that I mentioned is Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaptitam. Therefore the level is called Vasudeva Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva. That's the level what Shiva tells to Parvati. And not to Parvati, to Prachetas, the fourth canto. Shiva makes the statement of Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaptitam. The level where you can perceive Krishna or Vishnu is Vasudeva Sattva. And therefore, the father of Krishna is known as Vasudeva. Not with long A, with short A. That's Vasudev and Vasudev. Vasudev is Krishna and Vasudev is the father or the consciousness where Krishna is perceived. Where Krishna takes shelter or appears. Krishna appears not in Rajaguna, Sattvaguna or Tamaguna because they're all conditionings in the material world. Triguna, it's Maya. Krishna is not perceived by Maya. Krishna is only perceived on level of Vasudev. Therefore he is Vasudev. Vasudev appears on Vasudev Sattva. There you can see, have contact with Super Soul or with the Supreme Lord. And therefore ultimately the yogis, either in the yoga schools or in the bhakti school, they try to attain this level of Shuddha Sattva, Vishuddha Sattva. Hare Krishna. Vishuddha Sattva. But Vishuddha Sattva you cannot attain on your own. No.
Yes.
You cannot. This is upliftment. This is this what I mentioned. Avaroha. The path who is coming down, the Lord lifts you up to this Vishuddha Sattva platform. There you can understand him. So what? Therefore, Shiva is in the mode of goodness with, mixed with passion, because he can uplift his followers on platform of knowledge. That means of awareness. Who is the Lord? Who is the Supreme Lord? He can connect you with Vishnu, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he cannot give you directly liberation himself. Because only Mukunda, Krishna, can do that.
Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared to establish the worship of God the Father. And he decried demigod worship, different types of idol worship. And Prabhupada considers him the Vaishnava. And he said at the beginning of the class that the demigod worshippers are higher than
I didn't say, I quote Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he mentioned that the demigod worship is better than Christianity because it is Vedic. It is a science what ultimately connects you with Krishna. So,
what else I can say about it.
Why Krishna says that less intelligent people worship the demigods?
Yeah, because they that's what we pointed out, because they don't see that the demigods are themselves temporary. So that means the result is also temporary. They have inclination to worship, to sadhana, like we also do sadhana, we do puja. They do puja, but to a demigod. And Krishna wants to say this is less intelligent, because if you worship only the demigod as demigod, without connection or relation with me, then this is temporary, that's less intelligent. Those who are intelligent, they see the demigod in relation to Krishna as a part and parcel of Krishna in the universal form, and then they get benefit. If you worship the demigod separated of the universal form or of Krishna or the Purusha, then that's illusion, that's Maya. But if you worship them in relation with Vishnu, this is called Upasana Kanda. No? There are three khandas, yeah? Karma khanda, Jnana khanda, Upasana khanda. So the Upasana khanda means you worship demigods in relation to Vishnu, as part and parcels of Lord Vishnu. This is Upasana. This I don't know exactly where it is stated, but we can find it, you know, somewhere. I don't know exactly where. I have this in mind that from a class or from some other devotees who heard it, but I don't remember from where exactly.
You cited in this relation that there is no philosophy in Christianity. Because I studied the Bible, I was
myself also,
that had an imprimatur from the Vatican for 500 years ago, and that Bible did talk about reincarnation. I studied the life of the saints, and they're like bhaktas. They have mystic powers, they have renunciation, they have...
Yeah, I know, this God.
In 1962, the Vatican stopped all of this.
Council.
They threw the books away. Mm. The monks were told to throw all the books away. They threw away their philosophy, but the philosophy was there. But Jesus Christ taught very close to Krishna consciousness.
Maybe you know what Prabhupada meant, if you follow Christianity as we know, as it is practiced today, no? Not as this mystic, very ascetic.
They
are very special, and of course they are bhaktas, you know, they are like devotees, you know. But there are, again, it's very rare, and it's condemned. It's from the church. They hide it somewhere. In the Vatican, or even destroyed it. But that what is known as Christianity nowadays is completely materialistic. It's dark. Therefore we say dark Catholic. It's black Catholic, you know, because they're killing animals, they do so many, it's demoniac. It's actually completely perverted, it has nothing to do with Jesus anymore. And I think Prabhupada spoke about that. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati actually made the statement that Jesus was an avatar. That he is an avatar and that he was a great devotee. And I'm not sure if Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also mentioned somewhere in his books. I have not in mind now. So definitely, and you also study Christianity, he was definitely a devotee of the Lord. But those who are following him, they, how we say?
They say in 1962 it's like the devil took over their church. There's no longer any, all the higher ranking, the Aldimanya.
Okay.
They purposely,
in 62,
they purposely removed the foreign seat.
Yeah. Even maybe even before.
Huh? Oh yeah, gradually. Yeah.
That only there it became more obvious.
62 it was 100%.
But they, I think they removed many things already before.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like you see, you see this the story of Francisco Assisi. Yeah. He was like a person who had a good ideal. Yeah. He was actually real like a devotee in a maybe universal form, because he saw God's in the nature, you know, and everything, the birds and like that. But his followers, they became completely materialistic, Paula? Franciscans.
He had forbidden to build houses.
No.
And then one generation after him, they make huge cathedrals.
Mm.
And monasteries.
Yeah. And even they took part, you know, in burning people who are not Christians. Franciscan, although he was a...
colonizations are made by this Franciscan.
And they kill everyone, let God sort them out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And not so much... knowable about the Bible. I read it one time, a long time ago, but he's my authority for that. So if you want to discuss about this, he's very good for that. History also. Yeah, whatever. If you want to know something about history, he knows so much. No?
Yes.
No, you want... No.
I have a question about the fourth level.
The fourth level is
Shiva.
Sattva Rajas.
Yes. There is in beginning of 12th chapter, first six verses, Krishna explains to Arjuna that also these who are impersonal worshippers of the impersonal, they also get to come to Krishna sooner or later. But it's very
rare, very difficult, very difficult and very troublesome.
Therefore, I think my personal
Think.
These Mayavadis, they worship Shiva, and they get they reach some part of this
Brahman.
Yes.
Brahman realization.
It means they have also transcend somehow the gunas. Even.
But that the maximum what they can attain is this impersonal liberation. Brahman. But Brahman is actually also not a real liberation, because we heard that one has to come down even from there. So it's not fixed. After a long, long time, they will come down again. And it's also interesting how Shiva got the order of the Supreme Lord, you know, to become Shankaracharya. You heard about that, no? That he became Shankaracharya, that he should bewilder the followers of the Vedas. And, no, yeah.
Yeah, to bewilder the followers of the Vedas and bring them to impersonalistic way. No, first Buddha, yeah, right, first Buddha came, so he bewildered, he was also a cheating incarnation, tricky incarnation. Buddha is a tricky incarnation of Vishnu, and Shankaracharya is a tricky incarnation of Shiva.
And Jesus is the tricky incarnation of Brahma.
that you say.
I'm convinced it's like...
Anyway, that's so much trickers.
Yeah.
So and then therefore Shankaracharya came after Buddha because Buddha brought the followers of Vedas away from the Vedas. Therefore, they're nastika. They're non-believers. They're not followers of Veda, so they became Buddhist. And then Shankaracharya's mission was to bring this Buddhist, original Indian Vedic followers back to their roots of the Vedas by preaching or teaching something similar to impersonalism of Buddha, but on the basis of Veda. Therefore, he made commentary to Vedanta Sutra to bring them back to Vedic Siddhanta. And in this way, Shankaracharya, he paved the way for Lord Chaitanya. Actually, for the four Vaishnavacharyas, Ramanuja, Madhva, Nimbark, and Vishnuswami, that means these four Acharyas, they all built their doctrine up on the basis of to counteract the teachings of Shankaracharya. Therefore, according to them, they have different doctrines, different teachings. Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita. Vishishta Dvaita, like that. And then Lord Chaitanya appeared after these four Acharyas, who all came from South India, actually Shankara also. And that's also prophesied in the Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga many, many Vaishnavas and also saintly persons will appear in South India. And especially all four Sampra, actually five Vidamayavadi, they appeared all in South India. They all came from South India. And then Lord Chaitanya came from Bengal, Gaudiya Desh. And he then introduced this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Therefore, we have the Pancha Dravidas. Those devotees from the Pancha Dravida Desh and the Pancha Gaudas. Those who come from the Gaudiya Desh, who were related to Gaudiya Desh. Also five states. Yeah? That's it. Inferior. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is defining it.
Is Surya. das ist, there are two dualities, polarities from wife and man, or also regional.
Woman, Nordic, woman and man.
Yes, Nordic polarity to south. South is matriarchal, and Nordic is more man. Is a free rider people. They are Nordic people. It is Surya. They all worship Surya. This Central Asiatic people. That means there's a dualistic in Kama, almost Kama. Raja, Kama Raja is a little bit higher. It's more manly. Mood, and this is ethical duality. These two. Therefore, Raja is higher than these two levels of Tama and Tama Raja. Raja is more than over them. They even changed these two and took profit of them.
So you mean there's an exchange of duality between tamas and tamarajas?
Yes.
Between sun god and material energy?
Yes.
There's a duality, like the material energy is like darkness, Durga is dark, black, and Surya is light.
Yes.
So there's this...
Tama. Tama is earth and water, and Raja is... fire and air, and then more high is then third level, and then
eater.
More than comes fine
mind, intelligence, false ego, mahatattva,
yes.
Chitta. Consciousness. Pollute the consciousness is also an element. Well, little thoughts in the evening.
But Kunti also worships Kunti. She worships Sun God and she was blessed with the child.
No, Sun God worship was very, it's all, as he also says, it's all over the world. And also in the Vedic Aryan culture, they worship the Sun God, especially the Kshatriyas.
The
worshippers of the Sun God. Businessmen, they're mostly worshippers of Ganesh. The ordinary people, they're mostly worshipping Durga.
Calcutta,
full of Calcutta, they worship. Yeah.
They swear by
Durga. Kali Mata. Actually, Catholics also. Yes. Catholics, Catholic Christians, or many Christians, they actually, they're not worshippers, devotees of the God, they're worshippers of the Mother of the Durga. Right? You studied that? Huh? You didn't conclude that? They are more attracted to the motherly aspect of God than to the father aspect.
Oh, you mean like the Virgin Mary?
Yeah. They become more, they are more attracted to worship the Virgin Mary, that means the mother aspect of God.
Yes. Appeal to God.
Therefore, many, they worship. They actually more worshiping the mother aspect of God than God Himself. Like the Pope, he's the complete devotee of the mother of the mother aspect of God, right?
Yeah. Special John. John Paul II, fully. This I don't know. The
this one I don't know.
But John Paul II, he was completely fixed to Maria.
Maria. Mm.
And then agree with it, that is a form of Durga.
Mm.
But the Durga can change. If somebody approach Maria in a pure form, then she change to Bhakti.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the Shakti has as original ultimately in Lakshmi, you know, or in Radharani.
You know, just in the 1980s, the Virgin Mary was appearing to different children in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, not in Bosnia.
Medjugorje.
We went there. I was there on that hill.
Yeah. And my father was very much into this.
Yeah.
And in Canada, in Montreal, in Quebec, he knew this lady that also was receiving messages from the Virgin.
But this,
they took. I was visiting my father, and he went to the cathedral, and there was a meeting with priests. And when we came out, this somebody came to us and said, "There's some miracles happening in my house."
Mm.
So we went. I was there with my father, the lady that gets a version from the Virgin Mary.
Mm.
And in the house, there was pictures of the Virgin Mary.
Mm.
And she was shedding tears.
Mm.
It was like golden color. He said in his kitchen, there was water dripping on a picture of the Virgin Mary on the counter.
Mm.
There was no leak or anything, so one day he thought, maybe I'll put a piece of plastic over it. And after the drops of water dried, he looked at it with a microscope, and he showed me, the size of a pin, In the microscope you see the Virgin Mary holding Jesus Christ in crystals, colored crystals. That's magnified hundreds of times. There's no way you could arrange that. So it's like little miracles in these little, to get the people to believe.
Yes.
But the Virgin Mary, it seems to me that she stopped appearing because she says people are just coming to look at miracles, but they don't believe. It's just like a movie, you know, and dancing, and then they walk away.
Yeah. Anyway, still a controversy about it.
Yes.
There and that about this Medjugorje. It's not recognized by the Vatican.
Oh.
Yeah. Vatican is not recognizing it.
Prabhupada's son had visited our temple in June.
What he had?
Prabhupada's son.
He had what?
He had visited our temple now some time back. Juhu temple. So he, his wife, and Prabhupada's grandson.
What's that?
In Mumbai. So, we were surprised that they neither were wearing this tilak, nor they were having any bead bags. And they were so concerned that they wanted to rush back to home because they said we have to attend Durga Puja. We were surprised.
Maybe grandson.
Prabhupada told, but this I also only heard, don't ask me the source. Prabhupada, that whole Bengal goes to hell because they worship because of Ram Krishna, because he Ram Krishna, you know, Paramahamsa, so Ram Krishna.
Vivekananda.
And Vivekananda, that they propounded, you know, this Durga worship so much. So the whole Bengal goes to hell because of that.
Bengal closes for full 1 week. Nothing is done there. Only puja is going on every
day. Yeah, this is very tamastic because they're killing animals.
They kill so much animals.
Therefore, it's completely in tamaguna because they're killing animals. In
Kali puja.
And in Ganesh puja. That's maybe why this ignorance passion in Surya, because in Surya there's maybe also animal sacrifices. There's also animal sacrifices in Surya worship.
No, Ganesh Puja is no animal sacrifice.
in Surya.
Surya, yes. Not Ganesha.
And, and therefore Ganesh is Rajas. It's not there's no animal sacrifice in Ganesh worship. And in Vishnu worship there's no animal sacrifice directly. And I think in Shiva also not. Shiva worship is also no. It's only for Durga. Therefore she's in Tamil.
And Surya.
And Surya, that's animal sacrifices. Since time immemorial. Long, long time.
Good, it's nice Übereinstimmung.
Oh, Übereinstimmung.
17.4 with these five levels.
Oh.
17.4, so it's also...
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. So it's in three times. In Tama, one worship coasts.
Yeah, right. Mm.
And then the Raja, demons or heroes. Within Sattva and worship the Devas.
Mm.
Identical with these five levels.
Mm. Yeah, I guess Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he studied the scriptures very nicely and therefore he could conclude like that.
It's a very, very important information for to spread all over the world.
And in this Datta Kaustubha, in this little book from him, he built it up on these five worship of Hinduism. These five god worship, and he says that actually these five god worship is all over the world in different religions according to their nature and understanding. Religion is applied in according to time, place and circumstances all over the world, and also certain philosophies like the six philosophical theses, this Sat Darshan, who are not theistic, they're also spread all over the world. And everything has its origin actually from Vedas or from this Bharatvarsha Dharma culture. And that later on spread all over the world in different ways, in different cultures. Right. Yeah, that's a big subject. Okay, I stop here because there's no Arctic Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada.